3. We've been going through a short series that started on the 4th of July about foundational truths. And in Psalm chapter 11 this morning, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter. It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? There's a lot of things that have happened in today and in society and in the church even, where we've gotten away from the fundamental truths of the faith. Last week we talked about redemption. And it's taking us, Christ bought us with the price of His own blood. He's taken us as a slave out of the sin market and given us freedom indeed. And we should never want to go back to the slave market again. And He did it because He loved us. And so this morning, because a Christian is redeemed, we need to understand how God looks at us being redeemed. And He looks at us through a term called justification. When God looks down on us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees His Son. When God looks at us, He doesn't see someone that does wrong. He sees the righteousness of God. And that position in God, that ability to stand before God, is called justification. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 25 this morning. So in our passage it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. You know, there's a lot of people that want to try to redeem themselves. There's a lot of people that try to justify themselves in their position and said, because I did these things, I'm owed something. That doesn't work here. It says, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what? Justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, we have a problem. And our problem is sin. And God's got to deal with that in order to allow us to be in His heaven. He does that through redemption. But that brings on the principle of justification. Verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You know, there was a reason that Simeon was looking for the Messiah. Because he believed what the Old Testament law and the Old Testament and the prophets said. That there was coming the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. He understood what Isaiah had prophesied. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be what? Called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He understood that. And He's looking for it. Folks, if you never look for God, you'll never get redeemed. If you never look at God, this issue of justification is meaningless. And you'll try to keep on justifying yourself, and one day you'll pass into eternity and stand before a holy God. And He says, why should I let you into my heaven? And you say, because I've been a good person. Because I tried my best. Not good enough. Not good enough. You need to be justified. You need to be justified. You have to have the righteousness of God. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all them that believe, there is no difference. See, the promises were given to God's chosen people, but the result is for all mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here's a very familiar verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. We see this word justify, justification, justify. We see Christ connected with it. You can't be justified without Christ. It doesn't work that way. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ's righteousness. God's righteousness. That he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. See, justification makes us just before God. There's a good definition for this one. See, justification is to be declared righteous. To be declared righteous. You can't do it. You can't save yourself, and you can't declare yourself righteous. Someone else has to do that for you. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. You know, you study the Bible, there's the book of Job. And Job was a righteous man. He was upright in all of his ways, and he didn't like evil, and God allowed Satan to test him. And Job didn't sin with his lips. His friends come and basically said, Job, this is all because of your wickedness that you're hiding. And Job kept on saying, no, I haven't done anything like this. Job was trying to justify himself, but he, even in his righteousness, could not justify himself. And in the end of Job, he meets God. And God says, meets him in a whirlwind and says, have you done this? No. Have you done this? No. Have you done this? No. Can you do this? No. Can you do that? No. And then Job says, oh, wretched I am. And he understands more about God. See, we need to understand this whole principle of salvation. It's not about us. It's about God. He does it. We need to understand this concept of justification. It's not about us. It's what Jesus does in us. You know, we need to embrace the concept of justification. The first thing is we need to realize that we cannot justify ourselves. We just talked about Job. There's a lot of people trying to put their position forward. I've got a coworker. I call him read-only memory because all he does is he speaks, he doesn't hear. And he just keeps on banging away at you until you succumb to his way of thinking. No, that doesn't work. You can't justify yourself. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Christ is talking to the self-righteous of the day. There's a lot of people out there that know God up here, but they don't know Him down here. There's a lot of people that try to do all the good things, try to justify themselves, try to redeem themselves by good works. It's not going to work. They try to be religious, and it's not going to work. And Christ called them out. Luke 16, verse 15, it says, and He said unto them, ye are they which, what? Justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your heart. God knows your heart today. God knows if you're living a lie. God knows if you have the truth. But God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Last week we knew that our best righteousness is as a filthy rag. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. See, we cannot justify ourselves because we can't save ourselves. And redemption and justification work together. God does the justification. God does the justifying. In Romans 3, verse 30, it says, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. See, God died for all mankind. Christ died on the cross for all mankind's sin. And that's one of the things that we'll talk about this morning. See, we need to embrace the concept of justification. True faith is essential. I'm going to give you a fundamental truth. You are not justified in the sight of God unless you've received His Son as your Savior. Unless you've received the gift of redemption. Unless you've been taken out of the slave market and put somewhere else. You can't work your way there. You can't think your way there. You must accept Christ through faith.
Amen.
Because justification happens because you're redeemed. You can't be one without the other. Martin Luther who basically broke with the Catholic Church because he said, hey, the Bible doesn't teach what you're teaching. And folks, it doesn't teach what the Bible's teaching right now. There's a lot of religions out there that the world has now deemed Christian that are not teaching the Bible. They're teaching a false Bible.
Right.
And Martin Luther picked up the Bible and he started studying and he said, wait a second. Salvation is by faith and not works. Sin is given forgiveness and not indulgences. There's all sorts of things that he found. He said, this is all by grace and mercy. And then he understands the concept of justification. The first one, he says, this doctrine, justification, is the head and the cornerstone. It's the next step. It's the process that what happens after we're saved. It alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and defends the church of God. And without it, the church of God cannot exist for 1 hour. Without it, the church of God can't even exist for 1 second. Folks, we need to be all redeemed. If you're truly redeemed and you truly have Christ as your Savior, then you are justified. And folks, we can't do anything. VBS will fall flat on its face if we don't have God working in it. This is the day to get right. This is the day to do right. This is the day to think right. Secondly, Martin Luther said this. He said, the article of justification is fragile. What does fragile mean? It's easily broken. It's easily lost. He says, not in itself, of course, but in us. I know how quickly a person can forfeit the joy of the gospel. Oh, this morning, are you living in torment or living in peace with God? See, justification brings peace with God. Because God looks down at us and He sees His Son in you. He sees His blood covering you. One person said, justification means it's just as if I never sinned. So this morning I want to show 3 points about justification, the concept of justification. The first one is what we found in verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reality of sin is the extent of it. I've met people who say that they've never sinned. The world is redefining what a sin is. You know, we always heard about the white lie. Folks, a white lie is still a lie. If it's not truth, it's a lie. And we want to, well, the end justifies the means. I'm okay to do it because of the outcome. Folks, truth justifies your end. You either know Christ or you don't. You're either standing in His righteousness or you're not. And so, we see the extent. For He says, for all have sinned. It is universal. Last week we talked about, for by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. So now death is passed upon all men for all have sinned. That stuff in the Garden of Eden caused this whole thing to happen. And Adam and Eve sinned and they disobeyed God. What did they do? They hid themselves because they knew that they were wrong. And you realize that when you were a kid, you tried to hide yourself after you did something wrong. What happened? You got found out. And they got found out, and there had to be a sacrifice of an animal there. That was a picture of redemption that we talked about last week. See, the reality of sin is extent. It's universal. We've all sinned. We've all done something wrong. We've all broken God's law. We've all done things that God said don't do. We've all not done things that God said we need you to do these things. We've had bad thoughts. We're all sinners. And because of that, we come short of the glory of God. We cannot be in His presence. Just like Adam and Eve could not be in His presence in the Garden of Eden, we can't be in His presence in heaven in a sinful state. We see the reality of sin not only in application, but also in action. In Psalm chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, you know what? It's foolishness to not understand truth. It's foolishness not to follow truth. See, there's a lot of people that are foolish today because they don't accept Christ. and said, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. And look at the issue here. Look at what this statement does in your life. They are what? Corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. You might put on a good show for a while to those close to you, but you can't put on a good show before God. He knows what your heart is. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any, if there were any that did understand and what? Seek God. They are what? All gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. See, the principle of justification deals with the reality of sin. We're all sinners. We see the extent and application of action. We see the enmity. What does sin do in our life? It breaks fellowship with God. It breaks fellowship with Him. See, enmity means to be the enemy of, to be against, to fight against. You know, Paul on the Damascus Road, when Jesus talked to him, he says, I am Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. See, the reality of sin comes from a carnal mind. And Christians can do this too. Paul struggled with this. We all struggle with this. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. In Romans chapter 5, 8, verses 7 and 8, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can never please God. God feels sorry for you today. He says, why don't you accept the truth of my salvation? But we got to clean up stinking thinking and understand that God is telling the truth. The other thing is that once we are saved, once we are justified, God sees His righteousness on us, then we ought to live like that and have a righteous mind. The reality of sin causes fighting against God because of friendship with the world. My Bible tells me we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be a different people. We're supposed to be a peculiar nation. In James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Let's think about that real quick. Christ is the husband of the church. We are the bride of Christ. He wants to present it as not having spot or wrinkle in Ephesians chapter 5. When you are unfaithful in the marriage relationship, you are committing adultery. You can do mental adultery and physical adultery and emotional adultery. Okay? It doesn't matter. You need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to God. Someone who is not justified cannot be faithful with God at all. It says here, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whomsoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, it's often been said that you know you're known by your friends. Who do you keep as your friends? If you keep the world, that's your friend. And then the question is, why? Why? So we see the enmity or the reality of sin because of a carnal mind. We see the reality of sin with friendship of the world system. We see that sin needs redemption. It needs reconciliation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and that He might reconcile both, who both? Jews and non-Jews. Circumcised or uncircumcised. Doesn't matter. Whatever category you want to put yourself in, He came to reconcile both man, both unto God in what? One body by the cross, having what? Slain the enmity thereby. See, justification needs to be declared by God. God had to do it. He did it through His Son on the cross. You have to be redeemed to be justified. God did it. He did it with His Son on the cross. It's all about Jesus, folks. It's not about us.
Amen.
So we see the reality of sin. We see the extent of it, and we see the enmity of it. Second thing, we need to the resolution for sin. Just like with redemption, God had this as part of the master plan. In verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So to be justified, you must be redeemed. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. If we have the righteousness of God, that gives us the ability to live a righteous life. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. See, God saved you for a purpose. God's justified for a purpose, and that's to serve Him. That's to glorify Him. That's to do things that you never thought possible before. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Last week we talked about with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain before the what? The foundation of the world. See, God knew what was going to happen, and He made a way. I thank God for that. We need to thank God every day for His redemption. We need to thank God every day for His Son. We need to thank God every day for our status and our ability to stand before a holy God justified. So we see the plan, we see the process. In verse 24, it says here, it says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, when God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. There's three things here that we need to look at. First of all, we see the redemption. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. See, last week we talked about the plan of redemption. We talked about the payment for redemption. We talked about the pardon that's in redemption. And then lastly, we talked about the provision that's in redemption. Folks, all that stuff gets linked into justification. And it says here in redemption, it says, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. There is no other way, folks, except Christ.
Amen.
The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. See, to declare you righteous, someone has to do it for you. God did it. You can't declare yourself. God declares Christ's righteousness in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, Christ is all you need. He's given us everything for life and godliness. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The whole Bible talks about redemption. The Old Testament talks about redemption. Simeon saw redemption. He saw the Redeemer and held it. Folks, you need to see it and hold it today. Nothing is more important than to be saved. Nothing is more important than to be justified in the sight of God. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the what? Forgiveness of sin. See, that sin has to be dealt with. So we see the reality of sin, we see the resolution of sin, the plan, the process. The first part is redemption. The second part of it is propitiation. Big word means payment or to be paid for. It's basically something to appease wrath. See, if you don't have Christ, you've got the wrath of God abiding on you right now. And if you died right now, you go immediately to hell. That's the judgment of God. See, propitiation, basically a good definition for it, is wrath appeased. Remember the story of Genesis about Jacob and Esau? And Esau, you know, gave up his birthright to Jacob. We can go into a whole bunch of stuff about what happened there. But then Jacob was sent by his parents off to Haran to find a wife. And he meets Laban. And then he goes through years of being tricked. Okay? Basically. And then finally God calls him back. And on the way back, he's got all this stuff. He's got four wives and all these kids. And all this stuff. And he, as he's coming back, there's a servant of Esau coming and said, Esau's coming, 400 men. And Jacob says, Esau's still holding a grudge. I got to do something to appease him. And so what did he do? He sent a gift of all these animals and things to placate Esau. And in the end, it wasn't the gift, it was the forgiveness of Esau and the forgiveness of Jacob that got it done. Because Esau says, I got enough. He says, what's the meaning of all this stuff? He says, I want to find favor in your sight. Folks, the propitiation of Christ allows us to find favor in God's sight. On that day when the dark sun, when the sky turned dark on the cross, Christ became sin for us. God turned his back on his son because of our sin. See, just like with the extent of sin, it's universal. We see the extent of the sacrifice, it's also universal. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the what? Whole world. God can't save you. Oh, yes, he can. If you say he can't save you, then you must be putting yourself in place of God. The only sin that God cannot forgive is unbelief. So we see the wrath appeased in his son, the extent of the sacrifice is for all, and the expression of the sacrifice is because of God's love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, there's only three times of propitiations in the Bible. Here in Romans and the two times in 1 John. It says, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the what? The propitiation or the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So we see here in our passage that the first thing was is redemption. The second thing was for justification and the resolution of the sin problem is propitiation. The third thing is because of God's forbearance. What's forbearance? Long suffering, patience, hoping that you'll come around. You know, sometimes when someone does us wrong, boy, we're just all over it. This morning, going through McDonald's, I had a thing. So I asked, I said something. They gave me the wrong amount. And I'm going up there and I'm about ready to say, so I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say, where's my discount? Okay? And then they gave it. I said, this is your total. See, oftentimes we jump to a conclusion and we can't forgive. And we can't forbear. We just can't wait. See, God doesn't, you know, I'm glad that God is long-suffering towards us. Not willing that any should perish, but what? All should come to repentance. See, in Psalm 103, verse 10, it says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Thank goodness for that. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. See, I'm glad that God's above all that. And you know something? If God's above all that, we ought to be too, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we see God's forbearance here. But in the book of Romans, which was written to Jews living in Rome, Paul is kind of writing this, hoping that he was going to get there, which he did one day. But he's talking about, hey, you need to understand who Christ really is. You need to understand that the law doesn't work. And basically, what your religious leaders are doing is they're despising God. It says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Folks, to go to hell, you have to ignore all the stuff that Christ did. You have to ignore God's willing to forgive you. You have to ignore the fact that God set a payment for your sin. You have to ignore His long suffering. You have to go through your entire life ignoring that. Why? Why would someone who had an opportunity to avoid punishment go through this? See, God's made the resolution for that. Just as He declares His righteousness on us, He had to make a way through His Son. We can't do it ourselves. So we see the plan. We see the process through redemption, propitiation, and forbearance. And then lastly, we see the provision. See, our sins are remitted. Basically, they're talking gone. By God's mercy and grace. Hebrews talks about a thing. It says, hey, if you willingly sin after you've accepted the blood of Christ, you're trotting underfoot the precious blood of Christ. Being justified in God's sight is something that we need to hold and embrace to basically understand that we ought to live differently. We ought to live as if we are righteous. We ought to be just like Christ and live up worthy of the vocation that we have been called in. See, the provision is that it's remitted by His mercy and grace, and we've seen this in our passage. It's removed and remembered no more. It's removed and remembered no more. In Hebrews 8:12, it says this. It says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. In Psalm 103, verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. See, justification means God looks at us and all of our sins have been paid for on the cross. He looks down at us and He basically sees no sin. He sees no sin. So we see the reality of sin. We see the resolution for sin. And that we see that the righteous, our position is without sin in God's eyes. Doesn't mean we can't, doesn't mean we don't sin. It means that God sees all of our sins paid for by the blood of Christ on the cross. Why? Why did this have to happen? Because God is righteous. In verse 26, it says, then it says, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. His righteousness. See, in order for God to demand complete righteousness, He must be righteous Himself. In Psalm chapter 145, verse 17, it says, the Lord is righteous in how many of His ways? All of His ways. Some people say, He's made a mistake. He didn't make me the right gender. He made a mistake. He didn't give me the right desires. He's got to be righteous. And the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Folks, we don't need the world to creep into your thinking, into the church. Be ye therefore holy, for He is holy, for I am holy. He makes us righteous, His righteousness through Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be what? Sin. Everybody read it. For us. That's you and me. For us who knew no sin. Why? Because He was righteous. That we might be made the righteousness of God. There's got to be a change in your life. You're not righteous without God. You're not justified without God. But the moment you receive Christ, you're both. And He declares His righteousness on us. And He makes us the righteousness of God in Him. And because we're made the righteousness of God in Him, what manner of people should we live like? See, we need to understand he is righteous. The second thing that we need to see is that he is just. In verse 26, he says, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be what?
Just.
It was the right thing for God to do. And it's the only thing that could make you just. And the justifier of him. See? You know why? Because God had to judge sin. A holy God can't be in the presence of unholy sin. Just doesn't work. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 3, verse 8, it says, for Christ also has once suffered for us, the just for the who? Unjust. That he might bring us to God. The only way you can get to God is to be justified. The only way to be justified is to be redeemed. The only way to be redeemed is know Christ. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. See, the righteous has a standing with God without sin. Because God's righteous. And God is just. And the second thing, he is Savior. He is Savior. Which believeth in who? And everybody say it.
Jesus.
Why shall I let you in my heaven? Jesus. Only answer. Only answer. He's the only one. In Isaiah 45 verse 21, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Question mark, because it's not being done. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God. And a Savior, there is none beside me.
Amen.
He is only Savior. He is openly Savior. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, last passage. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He what? Saved us. By the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Besides me there is no Savior. That being what? Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's all about the cross.
Amen.
Your redemption depends on the cross. Your forgiveness depends on the cross. Your justification depends on the cross. Your life now as a believer depends on the cross. Your direction depends on the cross. Your righteousness depends on the cross. It's all about the cross. Folks, we need to get a clear perspective about that. And see the price that He paid for us to redeem us and to justify. This morning, are you justified before God? Can you stand before the Holy God with the righteousness of Christ? You must know Him as your Savior. If you don't, you need to do that today. And Christian, are we living a life that shows we are God's righteousness? If not, why not? You need to fix that today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask that You be with this time of invitation. Father, someone does not know You as Savior. Lord, today I pray that they would understand that You came to the earth to live a righteous life, to do no sin, to take the place of our sins on the cross, that you died on the cross for our sins, that you were buried and you rose again the third day to show that you have victory over sin and over death, and that you offer the free gift of salvation, Lord, for all those that just cry out to you. Father, help people to cry out to you for salvation. Lord, help us, Lord, to cry out to you, Lord, to live a life that is justified in your sight, that's pleasing, Lord. That is it, because we already have your justification. Father, help us, Lord, to live worthy of that position. Search us, see if there be any wicked way. Cleanse us today. Help us to live this place, leave this place, Lord, different than we came in. We ask these things in your Son's precious holy name. Amen.
Oh.